You think his science cannon ruptured? You think that's what happened?
I mean, they have cream for that, but, you know, you have to get down there and, like, really dig into it, like, dig underneath it and around the cannon itself, and sometimes there's backfire, and then sometimes it doesn't fire when you want it to, and it just, yeah.
Are you talking in euphemisms, or are you being serious?
No, I mean, Clouse's science cannon literally ruptured. It's a common problem for a lot of men his age, and things just happen. What did you think I was talking about?
I still can't tell if we're in euphemism land or not.
I think we're in recording land.
Hello so, like, again.
I was going to make a reference to Squeeze and Brace, but now I don't want to.
Hello again, and welcome to something or other. We don't have clues this week, and we apologize for that. Apparently, his science cannon ruptured, and there's a cream for that.
See what happens when you miss an episode, Clues?
Really?
I mean, to be fair, I'm the one that made that, so I'm sure right now he's just like, Jack.
Oh,
with his freaky science powers.
Anyway, so... Hi there. Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTG Cast Network. I am Chewy. That's Clues that's not there. You see that empty spot? That's Clues.
You mean the crater? Hi, Clues the crater. He's got alliteration powers. He's going to be very quiet this episode as he just sort of stares at us and shakes his head.
Is there a bow tie on the crater?
Yes.
I mean, yeah.
That's how we know it's him.
Okay.
It's distinctly not sitting on the island, so...
So who are you guys again? I'm going to mute and laugh.
Go ahead, Squee. Oh, hi, everybody. I'm Bill. You might also know me as Squee Goblin Nabob from Twitter. And this is my 10th episode, so I think I'm officially a host now. At least that's what Jack told me during the hazing.
Yep,
so
and now, Squee, I just need you to slice your wrist right here and sign the contract in blood. And it's binding.
You're going to have to do that for me, because even one cut and I'm out for a turn.
Okay, hold still.
All right.
There he went. Hi, I'm Jack, and I am sufficiently naked enough for this episode now.
And I'm back alive out of fear.
not Chewy yet. And there's Chewy.
So, gentlemen.
Yentlemen.
Yentlemen. First up, the pre-release this weekend. No one cares. Second up. Well, okay, people care. We'll get to that in a minute. Second up, banned and restricted list update updated, and nothing happened.
Ooh! Can I talk about the commander update?
We're not there yet. So in standard, nothing happened. In modern, nothing happened. In legacy, sorry, Clues, they did not ban blue mana. They probably should, but they didn't. They didn't ban Delver either.
Sad boys.
What else is there? I guess nothing was banned in draft.
Not yet.
Unless you open a god pack, I guess that's banned, but we'll get to that in a minute.
I'm entertained that they're still copy-pasting these messages, so nothing was also banned in extended. Good job, guys.
Is anything banned in prismatic stairwell? Nope. Okay, we're good.
Only tombstone stairwell.
But, however, commander is a whole other thing.
Yes.
Jack, tell us about the commander bannings.
Nothing happened there either. And thank God, because currently, the format is reasonably healthy regardless of where you travel to. Sheldon and company are still doing a very good job keeping a subjective thumb on everything that's providing somewhat of a nuisance. Basically, if you cry loud enough about green, they'll ban it. Like, that seems to be the precedence they're following here.
They'll ban all of green?
Yeah. They're trying to. I mean, you know, Primeval Titan getting banned, I agreed with that. Sylvian Primordial, even though I didn't necessarily agree with that, I saw their point. And they're just kind of slowly moving down the list of, hey, you know, these cards are powerful. Maybe we should ban them. Yes, ban them! And the moment they do, people say, why? Why have you forsaken us, Sheldon? And he just stares really menacingly at people. Because Sheldon's like that. Dude, he's terrifying. I have a card signed by him that got given to me for a really weird story. Do we have time for that?
I mean, nothing happened this week, so sure.
Okay, cool. So a mutual friend of the family ended up traveling the country, and she went down to Florida to do work for some lady named Miss Mannery, okay? And this friend of the family got to meet her son, Sheldon, and she happened to meet him in his DCI judge outfit for some reason, and she knew that I played Magic, so she called me up, and she's like, Jack? There's this guy named Sheldon, and he's, like, apparently a really big deal in Magic. Like, do you know anything about him? And I was like, yeah, he kind of shapes the things that I do sort of like absently in an abstract fashion. And she's like, oh, cool, because he said he listened to your stuff and he was wondering if he could send you some cards. And I was like, yeah, totally free stuff. Absolutely. So I now have a Opal Palace that's been signed by Sheldon Menery.
So what you're telling me is that Sheldon Menery knows where you live.
Probably, like, Sheldon Menery, of all the people who are involved in the community, like, I'm legitimately afraid of him, because I know he's short, and he's really stout, but he's very intelligent, and he has that kind of, like, stout, like, 1940s boxer kind of build, you know what I mean? And, like, if I got into a fight with Sheldon Menery, I know I would cry.
Jack, if you got into a fight with a 7-year-old girl, I know you'd cry.
I mean, only because they're short and they can hit you in the nuts quicker, like, come on, think realistically here.
That is a good point.
Yeah. Wow, dead air. So what else happened, guys?
Uh-huh, but the listeners didn't hear. Oh my god.
Yes,
they didn't hear that. I definitely added
they heard
that out.
They heard Mount Dune erupting.
But they did not hear the dead air because of silence truncation. And then I hiccuped.
And then you died again, yeah. We're on a roll here, guys.
I guess we should talk about the pre-release.
No tournament thing. It's awesome.
Do we have to talk about the pre-release since I didn't go?
Well, we don't have to talk much about it.
Yay!
So I waited till Sunday to go, because I'm too old to do that midnight thing, even though my co-host Brian went to the midnight thing. He said it was horrible, but not because it was midnight, but because of the way it was run. Listen to, I think it'll be episode 321 of The Manipool if you want to hear that.
Should I had to gas my RSS feed now.
Should be up next week. Let's see. But I went to the Sunday at Lucky's Card Shop in Greensboro, North Carolina, with both Brian and Mike. And yeah, since I knew Mike was trying to collect the full set of the cards, the weapons, the god weapon, whatever, the Godslayer weapons.
Yeah.
I said, Mike, what have you got? He goes, I've got blue and green.
I know he has black because he went black, so.
And I said, okay. They didn't have any white, so I said, hey, give me red. And Randy goes, okay. And he signs me up for red. Now, I didn't remember what any of the cards did. I remembered red was Dagron, and that's all I remembered.
It's a good part to remember.
Like, I couldn't remember any of the others, not nothing. So I just said, you know what? I don't remember anything about this. I only kind of want to be here, so screw it. Let's just do red. So, whatever. And I got my red, and I opened it up, and I could have made a extremely creature light mono red deck. But it only had, like, sealed. Do what?
That sounds very difficult and sealed.
But I had it. Like,
yeah.
It was, and the only filler card was Demolish. You know, like, but then, it only had 9 creatures and a Flurry of Horns. So 10 creature producing spells. And I went, damn it. So I ended up going red blue because I had a Traveler's Amulet and a Karanos and the Unknown Shore. Is that the one?
Yeah. So you had Mighty Thor.
Yeah, I had Mighty Thor, and Mighty Thor is awesome. I ended up going 2-2-1.
That's not terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. I lost the first round. I drew the second round. Good lord, my phone just went brr, 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 brr. What the hell? I drew the second round to a really cool guy named Kieran. He was a trip. I lost the third round. My opponent for the fourth round didn't show, and my opponent for the final round was a young girl who had not, well, not a young girl. Compared to me, she was a young girl who had not been playing very long, I don't think. So
I hate playing against new people.
Like, I had a no-show, and I beat up on a noob. And those were my two wins. After I completely punted the match against Lucky, the guy who used to own Lucky's Card Shop. And then Kieran, my first game was good. Our second game was long, but good. And then the third game, we started it with 4 minutes left, so it was a draw. Damn it.
Yeah.
And then my other loss, I was just stupid. I kept a bad hand the first game, and he just trashed me. And then I drew all of the mana in the universe in the second game, and it pissed me off.
What
because,
was it like being that powerful?
Dude, I actually was drawing mountains from other people's decks because at the same time, Mike and Brian were both having trouble finding red mana. Which I thought was really funny. I was like, I was drawing all the mountains in the universe. And they both looked at me and were like, that's where mine went.
So, like, you sat down and the lights started dimming and all anybody heard was... as you drain their mana pools?
Pretty much, yeah.
But product placement.
Yes. But anyway. But like I said, for a more complete review, go listen to episode 321 of The Mana Pool. Karanos, however, is pretty awesome.
It's really good and limited.
It's either draw, land, and another card. All the gods
are pretty second limited.
Or it's bolt something every time you draw your
first card. Drawing two cards or you're bolting, and there's a lot you can do in those colors to choose. It's not as open to chance as you would think it would be.
Well, it was in my deck.
Yeah, I picked blue at mine. I went in there, and before I even picked any colors, they're like, don't pick white, it's already gone. And I'm like, balance, yay. Because it was not a very well-kept secret that white had a massive advantage in this one. As the color that got most of the really good creatures and most of the really good removal and a variety of other things that just weren't balanced and a good promo. But regardless, so I went with blue. And I actually finally got Keranos in it. I played through like 7 or 8 boxes of the stuff that came out last year in Ravnica without getting any guild leaders, and then I'd played through a few things so far without getting any gods. So I finally get Keranos, and it's a 5-round event. I don't even see it in my mulligan hands until round 5. And I'm like, come on, Keranos. Come on. So then
maybe
your
devotion wasn't high enough. Ooh.
Well, clearly. So I finally get him, and I'm like, I'm doing this. I keep the hand. I get there. I cast my Keranos. I get to bolt something. It's awesome. And the next turn, I get to bolt something. It's awesome. And then the next turn, he actually has Deicide. He actually outright kills my god with one of the very few answers in the set. That is a rare in his pre-release pool. And so he gets to ruffle through my hand and my library and everything. So that was fun. That said, I still got like 3 bolts and 2 extra cards out of it, so that was sweet.
Did he find any other copies?
No, he didn't, as it turns out.
Was he not looking hard enough?
Well, I mean, you know. No, that would have been really sweet if I had another one and he didn't bother looking. But no, that did not happen. He looked at everything. That said, I did have one entertaining match in the middle of the day. It was like round 3, where my opponent had a Master of the Feast, which is the 5/5 demon for 3. That, you know, flies obviously, but it has that thing where your opponents draw cards during your upkeep. And so he cast it, and then after his upkeep, I bounced it, so I got an extra card. And then he recast it, and so then after his upkeep, I put it on top of his library, drew another card. And then he cast it, and he hits me with it once, and so then I give it -6/-0. So I'm just sitting here every turn of the game, after turn 3, drawing extra cards. And in Beautiful. Spite of that, I found the one line of plays that would lose me the game, and I did it.
That takes dedication. It's a squee draft all over again.
It was special. The way that ultimately got me was I was playing blue, and I had the promo card. And so the promo card, you know, it's big, it's neat, it's whatever. But its main thing is when it comes in, it bounces everything that has a toughness less than or equal to the number of islands you control. So I very carefully made a point of not putting a 5th island down when I cast it so that the Master of the Feast stayed on the field. And I felt smart for doing that. But in the process, I bounced one of his dinky little bestow creatures. And so he managed to recast it on the Master of the Feast, which pumped it up to being like a 1/7. And that was enough for him to hit me with it and die.
Dang it, man.
So I thought around the really complicated part and I missed the obvious part. And I was really upset with myself for that since I was holding a hand of like 7 good cards and like, you know, every answer in the world, and I was going to continue drawing other cards, but I found a way. It's what I do. But overall, I had a lot of fun. I managed to collect all the stickers for the god weapons because the guy running our shop is like, I'm not doing this. So, and to credit, I don't really blame him. I did find that technically, if you have the blue god weapon, which is the one that has pay 2 to untap this creature, and you take the path where you get the one that when it deals damage to a player, untap 2 lands, you can just make completely degenerate nonsense, which is why I'm glad these aren't real cards. Yeah. But obviously hilarity will ensue if you give it any paying ability at that point. Yeah, I'm kind of glad we're done with these fancy boxes for a bit. I don't think we're going to run into this in Garrick's M15, and I'm looking forward to just getting 6 packs and playing.
Good luck.
Yeah. And that's the pre-release. Some people had more exciting pre-releases than I did, because they opened super crazy packs.
Yeah, Lucky told me that someone somewhere in our area opened a god pack. I don't know if it was at that shop at a different time or at another shop or something like that, but somebody opened a god pack.
Yeah, there are pictures of them popping up on Twitter and Facebook over the weekend. No one at my store did.
But the god pack, for those that don't know, is... I actually don't know.
It's a pack that has all the gods in it.
Oh, it's just a booster. Okay, it's a journey.
It's just a booster. It's not the special thing. It's not like the seeded booster. It's actually just boosters of Journey into Nyx can contain 15 gods.
I wonder how many of those there are.
I don't know, but because they're normal boosters and they're not strictly ones that are seeded in those boxes, it's unlikely but possible that at like major tournaments, someone's going to pop open a god pack like in the top 8 draft.
Well, at major tournaments, the top 8 draft is open.
Oh,
beforehand.
You're right. They've already figured that out. Yeah, yeah, it would be more the sealed.
But, I mean, all you do if that happens is call a judge.
Correct.
So, if you open a god pack, call a judge. Most likely, I'm almost certain, you'll get to keep it. I'm almost certain.
It's one of those things where they have a rule specifically for, you know, atypical packs like that. They call it the abnormal product rule. And we've got a link
in the show notes.
Yeah, we got a link in the show notes to it. And essentially, if you get something, not just this, like in terms of the God pack, but if you just happen to get a pack that has like a card from another set in it, like when they were screwing up before, or you get like a, you know, priceless treasure or any other weird gimmick in your pack, you call a judge because it's atypical, and it's up to the head judge and the TO to determine what to do. They don't actually have instructions, which I think is kind of weak. Or if they do, they're not listed here, but they're supposed to fix it somehow. I imagine most events, what they'll probably do is just give you another pack to use and tell you to keep it, because that's awesome and it's a good story. But it's up to them. Like, they could actually just decide, well, you're drafting it, and then everyone at the table gets a god, and you get, like, 3 gods, or whatever, however that works out. 2 gods, I guess.
Yeah, it would be 2, yeah.
Yeah, but...
But I'm pretty sure they're not going to do that.
Most likely not. It's one of those things where I wish they actually just had a straight-up rule just to standardize it, but just call a judge, they'll figure it out. It's their problem. And that's God Packs.
Yay. So if you open one, take a picture, send us an email, tweet at us, something. Let us know.
And we will seethe with envy at you.
That's why I want you to tweet at us, because I have not seethed with envy in a very long time. I've seethed with hatred frequently, constantly, actually. But envy? Mm-mm. Like, I had a flash of it when I found out that the insanely attractive and sweet and nerdy and oh my god waitress at the poutine place that I go to is married. It was like, oh, okay. And it just, bye, and it was gone. Like, there was no seething. But a god pack would make me seethe. Yes.
And Chewie needs to seethe. We need to let the rage flow through your body to remind you are, in fact, a moral man.
No.
That's where we get our red mana from.
The rage is constant. No, the rage is not constant. The hatred is constant. Like, Jack might be the most hated man in Magic. I'm the most hating man in Magic. I just don't hate on stuff normal people do.
But you don't hate on me, and that's no.
I hate on normal life. Real life sucks.
I have been waiting for the new one to come out. This current real life is just... Yeah,
can we get an expansion, please?
I mean, I'm hoping that's what all the Modo people are working on, because we need something better.
Probably not. Jerks.
I mean, my life's good.
Well, okay,
is this where I'm going to get a shut up, Jack?
Shut up, Jack. No, I mean, there are instances of individuals with good lives, but real life on the whole kind of sucks. That's why we play Magic. In my case, we talk about Magic.
I thought we played Magic because of the addictive ink.
Also that, yeah, the ink with the heroin in it. Yeah, yeah, we totally.
That's why we don't stop. Ever.
Oh, well.
Yep.
So that's the pre-release and the God Packs. And the deck list for the intro packs are up. I have not looked at these because I wasn't aware. Brian mentioned it and I was like, whatever. And I didn't realize that he had to have seen them somewhere.
Yeah, they put them out on Friday because people could start buying them Friday night. Or rather, doing the pre-event thing where you don't actually buy them, but you get them.
Yeah, that.
I mean, is there anything to really care about in these?
Let's see. There's a green-white one. There's a blue-red one. There's a black-white one. There's a black-red one. And there's a green-blue one. So it's not quite following the gods' colors in this set, which is a little weird. But whatever.
I don't recall there being anything super outstanding about them, but if, say, you really wanted one of the pre-release cards and that wasn't the one you ended up getting, you don't have to open packs. You can go get whichever one of these it was featured in.
Yeah, Hero's Bane is pretty freaking sweet. I watched many a Hero's Bane crush people to the left or right of me on Sunday.
Yeah, it's big and mean.
And tough and grim.
It knows what it wants to do with mana.
But it doesn't know what it wants to do with life. Maybe just settle down somewhere.
No, that's the other one that has the babies.
Oh, okay. Oh. No. Yeah. You're his babysitter.
There we go. So there's that. Let's see here. Somebody opened up the Defeat a God challenge thing for game day and took pictures of everything and put them on the interwebs. So since I've done nothing with these other than I did play against the Hydra once with Brian and Mike. Well, not once, but several times. And it was really cool. But
How often do you boys play with the Hydra?
Well, together.
Whenever Brian and Mike come over? Oh,
just
wait.
The once.
Just to see how it was, I understand.
But I haven't read over this to find out what the difference is between this and the others. Winning the challenge. You win the game if Xenagos leaves the battlefield, which can happen only if there are no revelers on the battlefield.
You gotta stop the party ban.
So it's sort of like the Hydra, but not quite.
I have not done any of these. I went to Theros game day, and I was too busy doing actual game day to mess with it. And then I think I missed the opportunity to do it at the Born of the Gods game day. And so, I don't know. It's essentially horde magic, right?
Sort of, yeah.
That's neat.
So what we're going to do is, at some point, the Mana Pool guys are going to get all three of these and either play them against each other or play them 3-on-3. It'll be me and Mike and Brian against the Hydra and the Horde of Minotaurs and Xenagos. And hopefully we'll like live stream that or something, because that seems like something that our listeners would appreciate.
Yeah, I guess you could gauntlet run it where you would be fighting them one after another, but that'd probably be easier than just everybody everywhere. Wah! Make it a Herculean labor of it.
And see, we don't take the easy way out here.
Yeah, the ordeal of Mana Pool it is, then.
Ha-ha! So,
I like that.
I mean, Mike already has two of them, and he's already said he's going to buy the Xenagos one, so
cool.
Stay tuned for that. But if you have any interest at all in that, which sadly, we apparently don't, then the link is, again, in the show notes. It looks really cool. He's got enchantments. Xenagos does, not, you know, Mike. Mike's got enchantments, too, though.
What kind of enchantments would Mike carry? A beard? That works?
That's,
okay.
That's an equipment.
I'm satisfied.
What the hell?
It's not an equipment. It doesn't come off.
Enchantments come off?
Well, they're not supposed to. Something went wrong, and if his beard comes off, something went wrong.
So it's turned into a sci-fi movie?
Oh.
The Man with a Beard That Wouldn't Die. Starring Bruce Campbell.
Oh my god.
As Mike? I'd watch that.
So
I think he would too.
Okay, just real quick, I don't want to play against Xenagos.
Why?
He has two sorceries called Rip to Pieces. At the beginning of combat this turn, each reveler deals one damage to each player and each creature those players control.
Party party.
He's got two enchantments called Dance of Panic. Panic. Blah, blah, blah. As long as five or more revelers are on the battlefield, all revelers have haste and attack each turn if able.
Huh.
And then two enchantments called Dance of Flame. Whenever a reveler attacks, Dance of Flame deals one damage to each player. Good lord.
You ain't gonna be reveling long, boy.
That'll just burn you right the hell out.
It's essentially a giant mosh pit.
It is. Like, there's a whole mess of sorceries. There's a gazillion revelers. Good lord. Including Rollicking Throng, Ecstatic Piper, Wild Maenads? Maenads. Serpent Dancers, Fairies Band Revelers, they're centaurs. And Maddened Oreads, they're nymphs. I don't know why my N's aren't working and my P's.
So really what it is it's just like neat. A bad club where you can't hear your friends over the sound of the music.
Yeah, and then when the music does stop, it's when you're in the middle of the most ridiculous, out-of-context, awful part of your conversation ever, and you're yelling over the music, and all of a sudden it goes, and you're like, hell yeah, in my ass, and everybody turns to look at you. I'm very sorry, this is actually a bit that I used to do on stage, so let me just stop.
I was enjoying that. Do go on.
That was it.
So, like, when you see all the non-pipers, each of their abilities, like, helps you, which is kind of neat. Like, I mean, as they die, you get benefits and stuff. Is that how the other ones worked?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's how the Hydra worked. As heads died, you would gain life or draw cards or something. Cool. It's to offset all of the ungodly damage they're doing to you.
Okay, so if you're fighting, like, in the case of, like, the Mana Pool ordeal, when you guys are fighting all three of them at once, if somebody, like, does a Wrath, then you have to sit there and figure out how awesome it was.
Yeah.
Sweet.
You're like, holy crap.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. But okay, then. Let's see here. So, Worth Wolpert has posted Magic Online April 24 event... 2014? I left out a syllable. Events update. And Bill, did you put this in here?
I did. The noteworthy thing about this one is that they've actually set up zero ticket events, which means they're free to play. And what they're doing is they're just testing a bunch of stuff. And so for the people that, you know, sign up and get into tests, they're giving you a promo card of the Demigod of Revenge, which is actually also the promo card way back when we actually got to Shadowmoor at the pre-release.
Did they schedule the crashes as well?
I don't know, but they're going to do that this time. They actually directly tell you they're going to do that to you. They're going to be purposely setting up situations that will be bad, like clocks screwing up and players getting kicked from the game and possibly the event crashing. And they're testing all kinds of stuff. And so they're giving you the promo card for the sake of, you know, we're using your time on this. But also, if you actually win events while all this nonsense is going on, you're still getting prize payout. So
that's pretty nice, actually.
Well, it's sort of interesting because it means that on the one hand, we are going to have players that are just straight up getting stuff as a result of time investment, which is normal. But on the other hand, we're actually going to be in that situation where Wizards is giving people stuff for free and they're going to be complaining about Magic Online crashing, knowing full well that's why they're there. Because obviously, if you lose the event because of a bug in it, well, too bad, you lost the event. So there will probably be a little bit of butthurt, but hopefully most people who participate will actually just help them make Magic Online better. And if you happen to get more than a Demigod of Revenge, well, good on you. In the meantime, they're actually fixing stuff, so...
Okay, wait a minute. There's a picture of the Demigod, but it doesn't actually say that. It says giving promo cards.
Oh, did I misunderstand that?
Well, I mean, he doesn't specify the Demigod of Revenge. There's just a picture of the Demigod of Revenge sitting there. So it's possible you get something else.
Oh.
But also the purpose of this, for God's sake, people, if you're on Magic Online, sign up for these and help, because you can't fix a problem without testing your fix, and that's what these are for. They've been working on making it better. Now they have to, it's a road test. They have to take it out and drive it around and see if the freaking wheels fall off. And sometimes the wheels will fall off, but that's on purpose, and it's to test the new emergency, oh God, the wheels fell off, fix it button.
How many times have you had to encounter one of those, Jerry?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Just twice.
Okay, well.
Okay, yeah, there's actually a little more detail as I dig down, too. So for the May 3rd Zero Ticket event, they're doing Shadowmoor Blocks Swiss Sealed, and they're doing Phantom Modern Masters Swiss Sealed. So apparently they're just going to be varying the events, too. So that's neat.
Oh, there's a Found Here button. Look at that.
Yeah. So yeah, go do this. At the very least, it's an opportunity to have fun in Magic Online and not stress too much about winning or losing, because in all honesty, the shuffler actually is cheating you for the first time. And then you can't complain. Or rather, if you are a complainer, you get more complain rights than other people because you actually tried to fix it. And that matters to a lot of you, so go do it.
Yeah, get on that. Okay, then. So you guys remember they announced From the Vault Annihilation?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the From the Vault's Wrath.
Yeah, so somebody has spoiled... What is this, Chinese? Is this Korean?
It's Japanese. Niko Niko Douga is like the Japanese equivalent of YouTube.
All of those characters are Japanese?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, Japanese, like, kanji is just Chinese stolen, so...
Oh, okay.
That's why they look a lot more complicated than the other half of the characters, but it's still Japanese.
Oh, okay, cool. So there's... A Wrath of God with new art? Is that new art? Yeah, because that's Xenagos. Yeah.
Yep. That's Heliod.
I mean, Heliod. Jesus.
Yeah.
That is not the party man.
That is the Sun Man.
Yeah, it's the Sun Man. And he's smashing his spear into the ground and everybody's dying, which, you know, duh.
And they're not regenerating.
But there's this other card here that is in a different language. And for some reason, the only link I have is the Imgur link. I don't have, like, the Reddit link.
I don't know.
I'm guessing this is from Reddit. So... The whoever wrote this in the show notes says King Brigo. I don't know what that is.
King Burrito.
Macaron for the border.
I'll see if someone's translated it.
Live Mas. I will just do a search for King Brigo.
Brigo.
Oh, here it is. Well,
all right.
If it would load.
Salvation,
you are getting far too...
Alright, I will read it then.
Oh, here it is. Okay, go ahead.
Brigo, King of Eternity, 2, a white and a blue, legendary creature spirit, flying, 2/4. When you know, Brigo deals combat damage to a player, exile any number of target non-land permanents you control, then return those cards to the battlefield under their owner's control. So
the one I'm looking at actually just says deals damage.
Oh, mine's a combat damage. Interesting.
Interesting.
Translation powers.
Oh, but Mythic Spoiler says combat damage.
I would think that would be combat damage, or that would be degenerate even by normal standards of nonsense. Although this is the draft format, so depending on what's in there, it might not even matter.
What's the draft format?
Well, that he's from Conspiracy.
He's from Conspiracy?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was from the Vault. Okay.
No, I think that's going to be 15 Wraths.
Well, yeah. Okay, so he's from Conspiracy. That's cool. And then the Wrath is from the Vault. Okay, gotcha. I'm good now. I'm paying attention.
Hooray. So yeah, he punches you in the face and everybody blinks in surprise.
And then everyone's okay again. Except
yeah, so it's like the episode of the Boondocks where Stink Manor possessed Tom.
That was weird. That was just weird.
What, me referencing that?
No, that episode.
Wait, what season is that?
That episode was great. I loved it. Like that's from the second one.
Oh, they just added...
Yeah, Stink Manor comes back...
Oh, listeners, they just added the second season of lots of Adult Swim cartoons to Netflix, including The Venture Brothers and Boondocks, which are the two that, for some reason, are the only two I have seen. But I think Robot Chicken, too, maybe. So, okay, keep yeah. going, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Stink Manor gets re-released from hell to bring back his fight with Tom. And they reference everything. And they, like, reference The Exorcist, and Tom gets possessed. And Uncle Ruckus has to come do the exorcism on him. And if you know anything about Uncle Ruckus, you can guess how that went.
I bet that's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's special.
Hmm. So are we done with magic stuff? This looks like a good time to... Oh, so last week when I wasn't here, these jerks did not talk about the designer cards for M15.
Nobody cared.
Which, yeah, is fine. But Jack talked about the one he was all excited about, the guy from... who did Fallout?
Yeah. Brian Fiergo.
In Exile. Yeah. Okay, there we go. But there are a bunch of actual game designers, both video game and not. And, you know, the guys from Penny Arcade for some reason. In here. And I can't wait to see these. I mean, Lord British, Notch, for God's sake.
You're slowly, completely losing my interest in this project.
I don't know. I mean, it's been a while since I've killed Lord British. I mean, we'll see what happens. That's kind of his thing.
So, yeah. I know this is old news at this point, but, well, I guess it's old news from April 16th. So, yeah, 2 weeks is pretty much old news. But if you didn't see this, the link is in the show notes. Go check out. It's got George Fan's card. It's a Hydra. George Fan is the guy behind Plants vs. Zombies, which is one of my favoriteest games ever. I had it on Xbox. I've never played any of the other versions, but it was amazing, and I love it. And I still haven't gotten the achievement for the number of waves in the never-ending wave mode. Anyway, my roommate has, jerk, but he's not even here for me to call a jerk. But anyway, yeah, go check out the list, and then just wait, because hopefully these will be amazing. They might even be amazeballs. They might be amazeballs. At least a couple of
balls.
Them. A couple of them will be amazeballs.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, I like the Genesis Hydra. I don't think he's amazeballs, though.
He's pretty sick, actually.
Oh, this guy. Okay, wait, I was thinking of a different Hydra. Yeah, this guy is actually amazeballs. Yep. So see, look, there's one right there.
And I was actually excited about it. Yay.
That is pretty cool.
Yay.
So, okay, now are we done with magic stuff?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, good. Let's move into some other non-magic stuff. Our old buddy and former boss, Chris Otwell, put this in the show notes, which I knew they were trimming. I didn't realize they were trimming completely. Star Wars was doing some cutting of the expanded universe. So, okay, Star Wars consists of 6 movies, or just 3 movies if you have a soul. We'll call it 4 movies, 3.5 movies.
Don't say which. It's better that way.
Exactly. It's a maximum of 5. But Star Wars consisted of that. And then there were novels, a gazillion novels, Sweet Mother of God novels. And some of them were even good, like the oft-mentioned Thrawn trilogy by the guy with the Z. What's his name?
That guy.
Zahn? Is that his name, Timothy Zahn?
I have no idea.
Did he write the Thrawn trilogy? What? Okay, king of all nerds, you don't know. What the hell? Did you miss the Star Wars nerdiness?
Wait, who's the king of all nerds?
You know everything about all of the...
How am I the king of all nerds?
You know everything about all of the stuff we've ever talked about. That's why...
Makes it harder.
But anyway, the novels, just a gazillion of them have been written over the years, and they've become to be known as the expanded universe. And there was all this argument over, well, this isn't a canon story, this is canon. Oh, well, in this canon story, you know, Luke stabs a milkman in the head with the lightsaber. That one wasn't canon, that was the one I wrote, but...
he had it coming.
He did, he was a Sith milkman, alright?
And there he was, just trying to reform his life. He wasn't trying hard enough, evidently.
Obviously. But, so, everyone knows, or at least those that care, know that Disney bought Star Wars. Just yes. All of it. This is mine now. And so, we're at Disney, right? Am I right? I didn't screw that
Disney
up.
Disney licked it, yes. And that made it theirs.
That's mine. So, recently, as in just a few days ago, I think, Lucasfilm issued a statement saying that the entire expanded universe is no longer official canon. Now, before everyone takes their books out and burns them, there's still stories that use the characters you know and love, and they're still, well, okay, most of them are terrible, but there are some that are still really good. So don't lose your mind just because it's not official canon. Shut up. This doesn't actually change anything. All they're doing is cleaning the official canon house so they can make more movies, which they're doing.
To be completely fair, some of that expanded universe sucks.
Sucks a massive dong. I used to read a bunch of these. That's actually part of the reason for my nickname that is now my name. So I read a bunch of these, like, in early high school, actually through most of high school. And so many of them were just awful. And that's why I stopped. Like, I did some sort of book donation thing, and I got rid of all of them except the Thrawn trilogy. Now that I think about it, they're still back there. I keep meaning to read them again and haven't, but...
See, so, I think the main problem with anything that's, like, huge like this in geek culture is we all kind of turn it into this sacred cow without really being objective enough about it to admit that there are problems with it. And, I mean, that's, like, whenever people talk about Star Wars, they always talk about, oh, my God, the first three were so amazing, yada, yada, yada. Okay, you know, I was, like, 10 when I saw The Phantom Menace, and I thought that movie was amazing because I was 10. Yeah, because I was 10, but what was cool about that is it got me into Star Wars, and like that kind of opened the way. And even I didn't notice the bad acting, I didn't notice the plot conflicts, I didn't notice any of that. I noticed this awesome universe full of these interesting characters, and I wanted to learn more about it. So things like that, you know, you have to accept that they can be gateways into it. And the expanded universe, I think, for people who get interested into the movies and into the culture and all that kind of stuff and kind of want to become like the Star Wars geek, those kinds of things are extremely daunting, and they're very daunting to market to as well. So you know what? I'm totally cool with them nuking into the expanded universe. Whatever. Do it.
I'm actually surprised that people... I mean, I guess I shouldn't say surprised, but I think a lot of the people that are butthurt over it are also not realizing that there are like 7 levels of Star Wars canon. It's not like there's canon and not canon. Historically, there's like, well, there's movie canon, and then there's the movies and whatever George Lucas says is canon. And then there's the movies and some of the TV show stuff canon. And then there's the book canon. And then there's the video game canon. And they've had all these canons.
They eventually decided,
you know what, let's just cut everything but the movies and the TV cartoon that everyone liked, and that's it. Because Clone Wars got to stay.
Oh my god, Dak Faden. Oh god, not Dak Faden. Oh, son of a...
Oh.
What's his...
Dak Faden is not canon.
What's... Damn it, what's his name? Not Dak Faden, son of a...
Jango Fett?
What? No! What? Sounds like a Dash something. Sonic the Hedgehog. I can't remember his freaking name. The guy from the freaking video
You're
game.
You're having a seizure, aren't you?
Dash Render or something?
Dash Rendar? Is that his name?
I think so.
What was
I
he
remember.
From?
I don't know, but yeah, that's
was
him.
He Shadows Dash of the Empire? Rendar. I loved that game.
Yeah, he was Shadows of the Empire. Yeah. I played the first level of that game a lot.
Because you kept dying?
No, because it was a lot of fun tripping up AT-ATs.
Oh, right.
Because that one opens on Hoth, and that's just a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. So yeah, Shadows of the Empire was a Nintendo 64 game?
Yep.
Yeah, and it was awesome.
Did either one of you guys get to play Knights of the Old Republic?
Sadly, I did not have... I never did have an original Xbox, so I didn't.
I have KOTOR, but I haven't played it. I picked it up for like a dollar like 10 years after it came out, and I'm like, I should play that, and I still haven't.
They both, even though, you know, a lot of people complain about BioWare games, but they both were very solid and gave a very kind of mature look at like Star Wars storytelling, which can be somewhat fantastical at times.
I've been told that if I play it, it's going to be weird to me because BioWare reuses the same voices so much because they just have such massive casts that they kind of have to. And I'm going to start hearing characters from games that I've already played in it, and it's going to be weird.
That's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah. Which I'm fine with. But yeah, in the grand scheme of things, for all the people really whining about how all of their, like, three decades of plots don't matter anymore, hi, I used to read comic books, and now comic book movies are a thing. And nothing that I've read has ever mattered in the movies for this. So, welcome to my club.
Yeah, and actually, even just within comic books, it doesn't matter. DC Comics is famous for just every 10 years or so, they wipe out all of their comic books.
Oh, God, it's so annoying. Oh, or even like, okay, so they'll take something that's rather, like, the problem with any kind of continuity in anything that you enjoy as a person, the people that you know and love are always going to be there, and in time you will come to love those characters. Like, they tried killing Batman off 3-4 years ago, something like that. And
yeah, he got time travel killed.
He was gone for a long time.
But yeah, dude, like, that was the thing, though. Like, I was totally cool with them killing Bruce, because, like, Bruce is really the problem with Batman comics. Okay, like, honestly, that's it. And it opened up the pathway for Dick Grayson to prove he could be a good Batman, and, you know, you had Damian alive and all this other stuff, and it was this massive plot line that actually made sense. And then, come to find out, he got time travel killed, and none of that mattered. So, DC Comics just will regularly slaughter their own storylines within a few years just to make sales. And that's
so what you're telling me is that Wolverine's not going to stay dead this summer. Is that what
he
you're telling
me? He never stays dead, ever. He never stays dead. They tried killing him, like, several times when I was younger.
Wait, who
never stays dead? I missed this.
Wolverine.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's dying again.
Again. But with that being said, he actually has to stay alive for, Old Man Logan to come true. So, yeah, he's never going to die. Old Man Logan, however, was an incredible story arc for a kind of alternate reality type thing.
If you ever want to see the character of Bruce Banner completely destroyed for drama, still don't read. That was terrible.
You didn't like Old Man Logan?
I didn't like what they did to Bruce Banner.
No, I mean, I was fine with that.
Don't wiki cool that unless you're actually curious. Maybe Jack will talk about it on Twitter in an inappropriate moment. But don't get that for your kids.
Yeah, there's kind of non-PG-13, NC-17 things in it.
Correct.
Wait, what? Which storyline are we talking about?
Old Man Logan.
Oh, okay. I thought that's what you said, and then I thought we veered off somewhere.
Yeah, it was essentially them trying to do The Dark Knight Returns, but Wolverine, and wow, did they take that to a dark place.
Yes, they did.
And that's comic books because Star Wars.
In light of the upcoming Guardians of the Galaxy movie, I actually picked up off of my shelf the three Annihilation hardcovers that I have. And then I remembered why I didn't want to read them again, because the first part of the first book makes me want to gouge my eyes out. The rest of it's good, but I can't get past how bad the whole Drax Reborn part is.
Mm.
And he's reborn into Batista, it turns out. Huh, who'd have thunk it?
That's where babies come from.
I'm really looking forward, on another side note, while we're on non-magic stuff, I'm really looking forward to the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
I am too.
I'm pretty sure it's going to take us all by surprise and do amazingly well. Because something as off the wall as Guardians of the Galaxy, they have to do it well. They have to. It has to be good, or they could never release it. Because no one's ever heard of this crap, and no one cares.
But they know that, and that's why it's going to work.
That's why it's going to be good, because they knew no one's ever heard of it, and they knew it's complete nonsense, so they're going to make it good to counteract that. As opposed to Spider-Man 2, which is probably going to be pretty good.
Like, I'm hoping, pretty good. But I'm going in with the lowest expectations possible, because I've been hurt so many times by
Spider-Man.
It's
just the second one. It can't be as bad as the third one yet.
Was I the only person that enjoyed The Amazing Spider-Man?
I thought it was awesome.
No, it was fine. It's just I've been hurt by Spider-Man, so I always go in with low expectations now.
Yeah, I mean, I had low expectations for it too, because after Tobey Maguire, my God, I was like, there's not much work they would have to do. And I was pleasantly surprised by it. I thought it was pretty good.
I think they made Peter Parker a little bit too cool, but still. I like Gwen Stacy more than Mary Jane, so I'm happy anyway.
That's right, kids.
And I'm so glad they got someone that can act.
Are we talking about Gwen Stacy still?
I'm talking about not Kirsten Dunst, is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, when she was in Interview with a Vampire, she was this tall and, you know, cute and tiny. She was a hell of an actress to be so small. Like, she was a hell of an actress to be so young. But then, as she grew up, her acting didn't get any better. So, yeah, so she didn't go the Christina Ricci route, you know?
Are we officially talking like movies and we're done with magic?
Yeah, we've been done with magic. What else you got?
Okay, cool. So Tiffany and I, after having a horrible weekend that did not involve me going to a pre-release and did involve busted pipes and gravel, we ended up renting Machete Kills and Anchorman 2. Machete Kills, I don't know if you guys have actually seen or followed like the plotline for it.
No.
I haven't seen any of that's like part of the Grindhouse thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
All right. Do you like Danny Trejo?
He's all right. He's very short, which always trips me out.
But he's in amazing shape, that being said. It's basically Danny Trejo, like, disemboweling, gutting, beheading, like, killing people in these amazingly creative ways. Like, there was once where a guy was fighting him, and he, like, cut his guts open and ripped his guts out and threw him into a helicopter blade, so the guy spun around and got chopped up into bits.
That's hilarious.
It's just, I mean, that's the thing about Machete, is it's not actually, like, an action movie, it's a comedy. And if you watch it like a comedy, the movie is 100 times more entertaining.
I was gonna say, isn't Charlie Sheen the president in this movie?
Yeah.
What Charlie the hell? Sheen's that's comedy gold.
You can't take that seriously ever. So.
And, actually, he does surprisingly well. He has some of the best acting in the movie, if you can believe it. But yeah, Charlie Sheen's in it. And, like, they had a bunch of celebrity cameos because they have this character called the Chameleon where he's a hitman and he'll change his face into different people. And the Chameleon was Antonio Banderas, Lady Gaga, Cuba Gooding Jr., and I don't know if you guys have ever seen Justified on FX.
No.
Okay. The guy who plays Boyd Crowder on Justified was also the Chameleon. So it's just this, like, one-person cameo they had where the people would just, like, run their hands over their face and they're somebody different.
So it's like Marvel's The Chameleon, but only for high-profile celebrities.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And, yeah, and it was pretty good. Anchorman 2 was literally the exact same movie as Anchorman 1, except it had a better critique of modern news media. I don't know if either one of you guys saw that.
Anchorman's one of those fun things where I'm like, yeah, that happened. I'm pretty good with that.
Yeah. Basically, like, Ron makes his comeback or whatever, and it's all about him doing these, like, horrible things that news media does now. And as a communications major, that made me laugh. So that was cool. But altogether, they were both fun. Check them out if you like watching Danny Trejo kill people or watching Will Ferrell kill his career.
You can't kill Will Ferrell's career.
Yeah, I wish you can kill Will Ferrell's
career. How badly that I wish you could.
Unfortunately, I didn't actually see Anchorman until just like 5 or 6 months ago. And it was enjoyable, but I think I'm good now.
Yeah, it was one of those movies where it was so incredible. And I mean, the sequel's the exact same way. It's so off the wall and so completely like head on shoe stupid. That if you're in the kind of mood to watch that kind of thing, you'll laugh. But otherwise, you're just like, eh. Like, the first 20 minutes of Anchorman 2, I didn't even laugh. And I had my hand on the DVD remote. I was just like, you get 5 more minutes. It's 5 more minutes because you got a pedigree, baby, and that's it.
Okay, let's see. What else? In other news, I did see the new Captain America. It was awesome. I think I said that a couple weeks ago, though, so never mind.
It's still awesome, though.
It is still awesome, yeah.
Tiff actually asked me to go see it again this upcoming weekend, so yay, I get to watch Bucky get punched all over again.
Punching Bucky. No, that's Indiana Jones. Never mind.
I'd still watch that.
Oh, I have a post-show story I need to tell you guys.
And the listeners are like, damn it!
No, like, it will be well worth it. The reference to Indiana Jones just reminded me.
Oh, okay. Let's see.
You have not appeased the listeners at all with those words, Jack.
Yeah, you really
okay, did. Okay. I can tell this story on the air since we're filling dead air. Or do you guys just want to get over?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. So I had a customer the other day where I went out to his house, and he was a doctor. And I got to talking to him, and he was a much older man. He was about, I think he was 80 years old. And we'll call him Dr. B. Dr. B had served in 2 wars. And had been on every single continent, was not married, had no kids, and is now traveling all the other subcontinents before he dies. And he was telling me that apparently, like, of all the people in the world who have been to all the continents, they only make up less than 1% of the entire population of the world. So he was pretty cool to talk to.
Nice.
Yeah, he was interesting. But there you go. He reminded me of Indiana Jones, though, because on his wall, he had a picture of him riding an elephant with this guy that looked a lot like Freddie Mercury. And in it, he had on a leather jacket, brown pants, and the little, like, hat that he wears. And so all I could think about is I was like, this guy's been all over the world. He's a doctor. He used to be a teacher. Have I stumbled across something here? Have I found the true source material?
I'm just imagining this great moment now where Freddie Mercury and this guy walk in and they're like, we want to do a movie. And then George Lucas is all like, I don't know, let me get Spielberg on the line. Can we do this? Yeah, we got it. We got it. We're not giving
all right,
you any
Freddie, money, we have a 5-year-old Asian boy to play you. Is that okay? What? Wait, why is he? Duh, just work with it. Just work with it.
Just shut up, Freddie. You're going to be dead before this comes out. Don't worry about it.
Wait, how do you?
Nothing.
Yeah. So
I'm imagining Indiana Jones with Queen music, and it's weird.
I'm He's sorry. You mispronounced awesome.
I did. I didn't call it bad. Look, if Queen was still making the soundtrack of every movie, I'd see more movies.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
That's why we even had a Flash Gordon movie.
See, on a related note, I didn't see Highlander until, like, the original Highlander until, like, a year or two ago.
Please tell me that's the only Highlander movie you've seen.
Yes. I did watch
stop.
The show a lot with Mom.
This is where
Mom
you
saw Adrian Paul with Purdy.
Well, have you guys ever, like, since you've obviously mentioned Flash, of course you've heard the music to it. Play the Flash Gordon theme song, just no matter what you're doing. Like, if you're out, in public getting groceries, play the theme song on your phone. Or, if you're on the toilet or something, it fits with everything. That's
Dude,
how I know that is
great.
A masterfully composed song.
I have, the Proto Men did a Queen album. They did A Night of Queen.
Yeah.
It was a live recording of a Queen show they put on. And the first actual music track is Flash. And I love to, when I wake up and I'm in a bad mood and I have to go to my incredibly crappy job that I desperately hate and wish would burn down. And sadly it hasn't. If it does, they're totally coming to me, and that's going to be bad. But, I love to put on the first track and just let it play while I drive to work. And sometimes I'll play it, 2 or 3 times.
I'm actually really glad you introduced me to them when we were coming back from Charleston. They are amazing.
Right?
I like how they'll actually play, a random Queen song or two in the middle of their normal shows. Just when you think you've figured out what they're going to do, they'll just, start having a good time right there, and it just sucks you right in.
Oh, totally.
Wonderful.
Yeah. The first time I saw them was at MAGFest, and they did their first album. What, Act One? Is that what it's called? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they went away, and they came back, and they started with a Journey cover, and then they did, Death on Two Legs. I'm like, I know this song! What is this song? It was really a trip. Anyway, we've gotten way off topic here.
This is what happens when you don't have tournaments. Isn't this great?
It's kind of nice, actually. We need to have this as our show. Screw Magic tournaments. There's so many other shows that will tell you about Magic tournaments. That's not true. Monday Night Magic was the first. We need to keep it going. Let's see. Oh, there were a couple other non-Magic things I was going to talk about. 3, in fact.
Ooh.
One is a YouTube channel. Stop me if I've done this before, because I might have. But it's Vsauce.
Vsauce.
Yes. Vsauce, our world is amazing, is what his channel art says here. And this guy, Michael is his name, is amazing. He does, it's essentially science. Like, he's doing science.
Yeah, you've already done this one.
Have I done this? I know I've done a couple others that were science. But, one of my favorites that he's done recently is, what is the resolution of the eye? And he always starts with one thing. And then veers off in some other direction. So, what is the resolution of the eye? He's talking about,
your theoretical eye pixel count?
Yeah, but then he goes on to explain what your eye actually sees and how that's a dumb question. And it's brilliant.
Does he start talking about magenta and stuff like that?
No, that's a different one.
Okay.
But, the first one I watched was Why Are Things Creepy? Because Markiplier told me to, and I do as Markiplier says. So I went to watch Why Are Things Creepy, and he talks about the Stephen King definitions of scary things. There's horror and terror, and then creepy. It was the gross out, and then horror, and then terror. And I think terror was the creepiness and vagueness and the uncanny valley. And it's all of his stuff has amazingly high production values. Even though the parts that are him, it's just him with a camera sitting on a stack of books or something and talking to it. But all of his post is amazing.
Cool.
Yeah. And there's just so much good.
Anything that promotes people to actually go out and self-educate is good in my eyes.
He just put one up 47 minutes ago, actually. It's called How Many Things Are There? That ought to be a good one. And Scott is holding out 10 fingers. Thank you, Scott. There are 10 things. So don't watch that video.
Scott has solved that one for you. He saved you a minute.
Yeah, he does biology and psychology and astronomy. Who owns the moon? He does politics. What does Earth actually look like? Why is your bottom in the middle? What does human taste like? What's the brightest thing in the universe? Why do we dream? Why do we feel nostalgia? What's the shortest poem? What is the greatest honor? There's so much stuff that it's impossible to classify what he does. And it's amazing. And I love his channel, and I'm sadly not caught up yet, but he has since, this channel launched like a million years ago, he spawned Vsauce 2 and Vsauce 3, which are similar but different. So with two other guys hosting those. So that's one. Another one is very quick. It's Smooth McGroove. If anyone plays video games, you should subscribe to Smooth McGroove. He does a cappella renditions of video game music, but he does all the parts himself, and
I have seen that guy. Okay.
Yeah, and his videos, there's a video in the center of all of whatever game is playing, and then all around him are the different.
Yeah, like he tiles the recordings of him as he's doing each sound, and so you can just sort of watch all of them to know that he's really acapellaing all of it.
And it's uncanny. And of course, he's got the little black cat that he will pick up and play with when he's not doing something in any given shot, and even sometimes when he is, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
But he's also got an epic beard and long hair, so he looks not like a video. He looks like the kind of guy who would wear leather and kill you, but. But here he is going
with a cat.
You know, do what?
With a cat.
Kill you with a cat, yes. But yeah, he just put up the Dragon Roost Island from Legend of Zelda Wind Waker. It was really good.
Oh, now you've got me thinking about, you know, if you had a movie with a serial killer type character who's always chasing you, but he also does a cappella, and so he does like the creepy sounds and you can hear the a cappella coming.
Oh, that's awesome.
That would just be really creepy.
This sounds like a terrible indie horror game that Markiplier will play.
That sounds wonderful. He should play Resident Evil or something. It'd be great.
Yeah. But okay, one more thing. It's not YouTube, it's Netflix. My roommate, it was already on my queue to watch, and my roommate talked me into it. It's called Coupling. The first season, it's a British show. The first season was on, it was in 2000, I think. 2099, 2001, in there somewhere. And it's written by Stephen Moffat, or created by Stephen Moffat. And Bill, who is Stephen Moffat?
Stephen Moffat is known for a number of things, but currently he's the showrunner on Doctor Who. More relevant to a lot of people, he does the Sherlock.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's done a number of other shows that are also allegedly good. I have not seen them.
Yes.
Including Coupling, apparently.
And anyone that has Netflix should totally watch... well, Scott went to season 1, episode 3... Inferno. Now, Coupling is essentially Friends, but British and dirtier. You know, not like R-rated dirtier, but it's way more... How do I put this? It's way more... there's British. A lot more in a window, and a lot more... just crassness.
Yeah, based on your description, I'm assuming this is like a BBC Three kind of show, where... Like BBC One, BBC Two, things like that. Those are like what you would expect on network TV. But this is like you wandered over to FX or something. And it's just like, wow, that's a lot meaner. It's not that it's expressly doing anything extra, but it's just a lot meaner and probably a lot more risque.
Scott just did it perfectly. He said it's unrepressed. It's a lot more what?
Friends without Puritans.
Ah, it's Friends without Puritans.
Ooh.
That is brilliant, like a band. Sir. I love you. So yeah, over the weekend, I actually just watched season 2, which was, I think it was 8 episodes. I got home from the pre-release actually, and turned on YouTube and said nope, and went to Netflix and just watched season 2 of Coupling. It was brilliant. I was sitting here on the couch by myself laughing my ass off. So anyone who's not squeamish and is old enough to appreciate it, because they're all like 30 somethings in the show, totally watch it. It is brilliant. Yeah.
Good old Netflix.
I do so love it. So okay then. So that's what I'm done. That was enough out of me, for God's sake.
Cool.
Smooth McGroove.
Not to be confused with Scruff McGruff.
That's yeah. You are correct, sir.
That is a different dog.
I no longer like you.
That's fair. I get that. But yeah, So that's magic. I assume we're probably, like, I haven't looked, but since we just had a new set come out, people will be able to buy it this weekend. And then a week after that, per tradition, after people have been sufficiently price gouged on all the relatively money cards, there's probably going to be a giant Pro Tour, right?
I mean, there's one coming up sometime soon.
I think that's usually how they do it now.
Is it?
They have some massive tournament, like, a week after the stuff goes on sale, so Star City can jack everybody for $40 rares. I don't even know what the $40 rare for this set is.
I don't know, but some people are like, how'd you do? I'm like, not good. They're like, well, but you opened a god, so that paid for it. I'm like, it didn't pay for it, because I'm not going to sell it.
Yeah, that only works when you actually sell the cards.
Like, what am I going to sell it for? Like, $5? They were like, it's going for, like, 20. I was like, I'm sorry, what?
I have no idea what the money cards are. I'm going to go ahead and look, because I'm curious now.
Is there a place to just click for the word money cards? Like, how does that work?
Mostly it's I go to the most overhyped website of Star City, and I look at what they want $40 for. Because if you notice, they pick a card every set, and that is the $40 card, and then everything is priced accordingly.
Oh, is that how they do it? I've been wondering.
Yeah, it's generally the Planeswalker. The Planeswalker starts as the $40 one.
I don't know if a Johnny is $40, though. I don't know, that second ability is pretty good.
The plus ability, not to be confused with the plus ability. Let's see. Alright, so, yeah, Keranos is at $20 right now. You're probably never going to get that amount of money for it, but that's what they're selling it for.
It's weird.
Godsend is 15. Neat. I don't know. I don't know how they figure this nonsense out. I'm pretty sure they're just taking whatever they think it's worth and doubling it, and then they're just assuming that off pre-releases, people going to go nuts.
I mean, those dartboards don't perforate themselves.
He's right, you know.
Yeah, so this has Athreos and Ajani both at 30. So I guess that's your money cards.
There we go, then.
Good job, everybody.
High fives all around. So it sounds like we're done.
Pretty much.
Okay, then. So, you guys want to pimp anything, contact information, any of that good stuff?
Yeah, I'll do some pimpage. You can reach me at Jack LaCroix on Twitter, at jack@mtgcast through email, or jackfromnc.tumblr.com, where you can ask me anything. MTG Bro Deals is also the website I write for and manage. And starting probably here in 2 weeks, Fat Pack Hero Season 2 is going to get started up, so keep your peepers peeled, people.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right, I guess I'm next then. Don't have clues to pad the way. Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinNabob, no I in Goblin. Last week I mentioned that I was at almost 400, and now I am at 404, so I guess I have no followers. But that said, I will continue to ramble on there. Today I actually was in a fairly good discussion, actually, with someone about whether or not the resources that are going into the pre-releases are factoring in, like, balance or fairness for the slightly more competitively minded people. And this was spurned on the idea of, if everyone thinks the white is the best, and you go to a pre-release and, like, 10 of the 15 people all want white, then maybe we should actually expect out of WotC for them to balance these things. And we were sort of like, we both were agreeing with each other, but we were taking different approaches to it. And so these are just the random things that will happen on Twitter, and you can follow them. And in this case, Moxie got copied at one point early on, so she was subjected to all of it, because that's how Twitter works when you start replying. So copy your way in and see what happens, and learn how to type in 140 characters. Go Twitter.
Or less if you're, you know, Bill.
Yeah, that's true. If you're hashtag crazy. I completely misuse hashtags, and I find it hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. All right, then. Well, that leaves me, and you can follow me on Twitter at TheManipool, of course. And you can send me an email to chewy@mtgcast.com. That's C-H-E-W-I-E. And you can find the rest of everything else over on TheManipool.com. Oh, and since Cluzen isn't here, he asked me to talk about something. Crap, hang on. I just remembered this. Let me check my text messages, because I said put something in the show notes and I will. And he goes, alrighty then.
Was it about the card advantage thing?
MomoCon. Bill, do you know MomoCon?
It is a con in Atlanta, I believe.
Yeah, and it's the same weekend as GP Atlanta. And he asked if we could give a plug to MomoCon. And I was like, sure. So, hey, there's something called MomoCon, a gaming and anime convention in Atlanta the same weekend as Grand Prix Atlanta, which is at some point in the future.
I think this is all on Memorial Day weekend.
That also tells me nothing, but I'm sure that means something to more people.
Like, four weeks away. Have fun, guys.
Okay, 4 weeks away. Have fun, guys. Gotcha. All right, then. And also, yeah, Clues did a... Did you listen to it, Bill?
I have not yet, but I did see that it went up.
He did... I can't remember how he worded it. Hang on. I actually made it sticky on MTGcast.com because it was really good. But I don't want to screw this up. So, it's Magic at PAX East. He took his recorder to PAX East, recorded some interviews from news from the panel, and some... It's him talking. He wanted to do a... Oh, crap. A thing sort of like some other podcast, and he mentioned it to me like 1,000 times. I can't remember what it's called. Guys? Oh, okay. It's like it's like a storytelling podcast. The whole point is, like, he talks about what PAX is and what Magic is at PAX and how that had something to do with Clues getting into Magic in the first place. And then there's interviews with people, and there's news from the panel and stuff like that, with ambient noise and music in the background. And it's really well done. And everyone, I mean, if you're listening to this, you're subscribed to this, then that means you got it, because I added it to the Monday Night Magic feed as well. Because it's Clues, and everybody loves Clues. Yeah. If you don't love Clues, well, then you don't love Clues, and there's something wrong with you. But
what's wrong with you?
It's only 25 minutes long, and it's really well done. So I highly recommend.
Yeah, I'll have to check it out. I mean, from what you're describing, it could be anything from like Radiolab style to anything else. And so that's a wide range of things that are all awesome. So go listen to it.
Like what he was describing was someone on the frickin', what's that pretentious radio?
NPR.
NPR, I think.
He might be talking about Radiolab.
He might be then. I don't know. Because like he's not here to pimp it himself. But whatever, everyone go listen to it. It's really well done.
Awesome.
And it's not like anything else you hear on the MTGcast network. I'll go ahead and throw that out. It's a new thing. You know how Three Questions was a new thing when I did it? This is a new thing. And he had said something like if he didn't have to work so much at Grand Prix, you know, judging and stuff, he would love to do something like this at big events, but he's working. And I don't have that kind of skill. My skill level stops at entertainment, and this is far more than entertainment. So, oh well, my bad. It's okay.
Cool.
Listen to that. And now we're going to go. So, thank you, Jack. Thank you, Bill. Clues, I hope your crater gets filled in again soon, please.
I mean, Jack's been, you know, collecting rocks. Maybe Jack can fill Clues' crater.
I don't think Jack's given up those rocks.
No.
See?
Never again will I move rocks without pay.
But science cannon. There's a cream for that. Okay, so, with that, thank you all very much for listening, and go play some Magic.
Yay!